Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is June 6th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Definitely love having you guys on live, though, so thank you very much. Really appreciate that. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? So, are we there? Because I hear people, I heard a ding, and then I heard... Joe, are you still there, Michelle?
I'm still here.
Good, good. Anybody have anything?
I have a new desk.
You have a new desk. All right, Joe.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you can we talk about that for just a second? Because that is kind of significant. You know, as a sales professional, you have spent the better part of the last, you know, several months kind of working from home. And you tell me, how is having a desk at the office, you know, someplace that you can kind of go in, how is that impacting your approach to the job?
I don't know. Personally, I feel more stimulated. You know, I feel like when I'm actually at work, you know, I can just concentrate on work. When you're at home, there's too many distractions. And, you know, plenty of people love working from home. I just learned that I'm not really one of those guys. I do like the freedom and everything. And I still have a good amount of freedom, just kind of powwow in the mornings now. And it's a great way to start my day, organize everything. And I actually like it.
You know, I think there's a lot to that. And I, you know, there's been tons of conversations and articles and reporting done on the difference between working at home and working in an office, you know, particularly since COVID, because there were so many people that worked from home on that. And I think that you're right in so many ways. And we've done calls in the past on how to effectively work from home. And you're kind of hitting on one of them. If you are going to work from home, and this is sometimes hard to do, you have to separate. And I've been guilty of this too. You know, you go, I'm out walking and there are dogs chasing me. So, but I, you know, you have to separate your desk from your home in a way, you know, and I'm guilty of that. You get up and, you know, before you shower and you still get your shorts on and your t-shirt and you know, you plop down and send some emails and make a couple phone calls and maybe the TV's on in the background and you get caught up in a news story or something like that. And it's, you know, if you want to be really effective at that, you're right. You know, the best way to do it, I think, at least for me, was to get up, get showered. Whether you're going anywhere or not, whether you're going to be seen by anybody or not, put on a you know, your work uniform, your khakis, your logo shirt, you know, and dress for the job. You know, dress as if you are going out there and getting stuff done. And having an office, having a desk where you can, you know, it forces you. You're not going to the office sitting at your desk wearing shorts and a t-shirt. You know, you're dressing the part. You're going to dress as if you were going out to see a customer. So I think it really does help. It helps us get focused. I think another part of that probably, and maybe you could speak to that a little bit, Joe, is that you know, sometimes in sales, it can get a little lonely. You know, I mean, yes, you're talking to your customers and you're making calls to the office and you're talking to them, but sometimes you can feel isolated from the rest of the company or the rest of the team. And having a place, having a desk, it does make you feel like you're part of something. Would you agree with all that?
Oh, absolutely. And just being surrounded by your coworkers who, you know, have the same goals in mind and everything. And
yeah.
Just being able to get off my desk and, you know, walk to my boss or one of my coworkers asking questions and just like bouncing ideas off of each other. It's it's stimulating. It's you feel way more productive. And I do agree with the if you're going to work from home, getting dressed and acting like you're going to work anyway is key. Otherwise, if you're just in your pajamas and dog jumps on the couch or something, okay, you take the dog for a while. You could just so easily get, you know, caught back up in your home life and get distracted from your work life.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Anybody else have anything that they learned this last week or that they wish they had known before, anything we could help with? So we've done this topic before. It's been a long time, though, and I think it's worthy of repeating because I know there's different people on the call and listening, and different people may have some input. But I had a situation – this happens commonly with what we do, and I think it's because – homeowners don't really understand what we do. Where, in many cases, if they have a well, they don't understand where the well stops and where the water treatment starts. All they know is that they've got a mechanical room somewhere in their basement or in a utility room somewhere, and they've got a bunch of equipment that they don't really understand. And so you know, when something happens in that mechanical room, they don't really know who to call. And maybe our company is the only one that that has a sticker on, you know, with the phone number on the front of the equipment. So they call us. It also happens frequently that since we are the last, you know, if we happen to be the last person working in that mechanical room, and it's not just in the mechanical room. We'll talk about that too. But if we happen to be the last person working in the mechanical room and something goes bad, it's assumed that it went bad because of us. And so what I wanted to – the topic for today was you broke it, you bought it. And I had a situation this last week where unfortunately it worked out for me that the customer understood what was going on, but we installed a softener. It's been maybe 3 weeks ago, and called to do the follow-up to make sure, you know, went and checked back on it. Everything was working great on the follow-up, but got a call from the customer a couple mornings ago saying, I've got water all over the basement floor, and my well pump it keeps clicking on and off, shutting on and off. So I went out to the house to check on it. It was a new install. Went out to the house to check on it. And I guess just because of discussion and to make it kind of learning here, what would be some of the questions in that scenario that you think should be asked to the customer? Any guesses? What would you ask the customer in that situation to kind of narrow down what the problem was?
Where's the water coming from?
Right. Could you identify where the leak is coming from? The customer couldn't. There was just water all around the softener tank and the pressure tank, you know, all in that, the whole mechanical area. So, but that's a good one. Yeah. Did you see where it was leaking from? Could you see water anywhere? So I was there at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The pump was not running it was not cycling at that point, but there definitely was water all over the floor. What else? What else might we want to ask?
Do you have any children?
Dude, that's a good one. Actually, because maybe was there somebody down there messing with it, right? Is there somebody that went down there? Have you had any work kind of in that same light? Have you had any work done on the unit? Has anybody else been here, you know, working on it? Right. Good. Was that what you were thinking, Joe? That maybe kids went down and messed with it?
Is there another service tech from a different company or something?
Yeah. 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 So
definitely not
what
me,
else? Anything else? So I started, one of the things that I love about this job is that you can be a detective. It is kind of fun in some ways, especially when they work out and the customer's not mad at you, right? But it's kind of fun to play detective and try and figure things out, especially when you can identify what's going on. And it is cool, the more knowledge you have, the more experience, the easier it is to do that. I said, this, one of the questions I asked is, what time, because he told me that he heard the water, you know, the well pump wouldn't shut off. It kept running. I said, what time was that? He said around 8:30, 9 o'clock in the evening. So one of the first things I did, because I checked around the softener, I checked the work, make sure there was no leaks, make sure that there was no water around the system, you know, to make sure that there was no evidence of it leaking around the head or around the fittings or the connections or the plumbing that we had done. And then I went in and I checked the regen times, because the softener, if it's set properly, should not, on a single tank softener, should not be doing anything at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, there should be no water going to it unless the regen time is set wrong. So I went in and I checked the regen time. Everything was set as it was supposed to be. So I then kicked it in the backwash and I checked the drain to make sure that it wasn't, you know, that the drain line wasn't misaligned or that it wasn't putting water on the floor from the, you know, from the drain, which wouldn't have happened at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. But let's just double check that to make sure, you know, to make sure all the drain lines are secure and everything is good there. There was no indication. However, when the system was going through its backwash, the pump was cycling. So it was literally turning off and turning on, turning off and turning on, turning off and turning on. What do we think was going on? What's happening? Any guesses? So that was an indication to me that there's a ruptured bladder in the pressure tank. And when I looked at the pressure tank, the bottom of the pressure tank was pretty rusted out. And so what I suspect the water was coming from was, if you have a rip in the bladder inside the pressure tank, then now you're going to have water coming out, leaking out of that pressure tank, out of that water tank. And that certainly, if you have that, because now you don't have the, you can't build up enough air pressure in that tank for the pump to, the pump's going to be cycling back and forth like that a lot when you have that ruptured bladder, because you're not building up the pressure enough in that tank to shut the well off for an extended period of time. Now that's one possibility. The other possibility is a bad pressure switch on the tank, but that wouldn't account for the water around the pressure tank itself. So fortunately, this guy had some, you know, he's an older gentleman in his 80s, and had done a lot of stuff on his own, and he completely understood what I was explaining to him. I asked him, how old is the pressure tank? And he said it was the original when they built the house, which had been like 40 years before. And so it was pretty clear, you know, I told him that you've gotten a good life out of it. That's way longer, about 3 or 4 times longer than I would expect the pressure tank often to last. And he completely understood that. I gave him a referral to a local well driller and it was really good. He was very appreciative. What should I have done when we went out and sold that system to him? There's something, I got lucky on this one, but I didn't follow my own rules on this one and it could have gone completely different. Is there something that I should have done when we installed or sold the system? Anybody have any suggestions? So, in my opinion, what should have been done is that we should have done a thorough plumbing assessment and recognized that the pressure tank was old and that it was, and we certainly did not hear it cycling like that when we put the system in, but given that there was rust around the bottom of that pressure tank and that it had clearly been there a while, it should have been mentioned to that customer before we did the installation and, you know, before we started that install. And that way, if there was a problem, because it always seems to happen that way, that it's sometimes it's within a few days. And it could be maybe that you're jiggling something or, you know, there's something different on that water line that could be the catalyst for it finally going bad. But it definitely needs to be addressed with the customer so that they're made aware that, hey, you may want to get this addressed pretty soon. You know, this is something you may want to take a look at here pretty soon because it might, this is on its last legs. You know, it could be going bad. In many instances, it doesn't matter whether we are right. And there is right or wrong. And you know, in this case, certainly, I think anybody would have understood that the two are unrelated, that the softener and the pressure tank are unrelated. But it does sound like, I mean, you know, you don't want to get in a situation where you do what a lot of companies do just automatically without really diagnosing. And, you know, they go out to see a problem. Oh, that's not us. That's not our fault. That's somebody else. You gotta call them. You know, in different trades do pass the buck a lot. They don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. And whether that's legitimate or not, it always sounds, I think, to a customer, it's at risk of sounding like you're not taking responsibility, you know, like you're passing the buck. And customers don't want to be caught in the middle of different tradespeople. You know, they want to... they don't understand the stuff. They just want the answers. And so I think there's a couple lessons in that, having a group of people that you can refer, people that you know in the area that you trust, that you can say, you know, this is not mine, but I know this other guy who does wells. I'd recommend giving him a call and taking a look at it, you know, and somebody that's not going to go out there and throw you under the bus, you know, somebody that you trust to give referrals to that are not going to bash you. You know, the other part of that is, like I said, making sure that you are doing a thorough plumbing assessment before you touch stuff, before you break into things, having those conversations with the customer so that they are aware, and on top of that, documenting those conversations so that you are not putting yourself in a situation where you could be inadvertently blamed for those situations. Another common one that we run into frequently, I think, is, you know, putting a reverse osmosis system in under the sink. You know, there have been, this is one that I see, it's burnt me a lot of times. And in fact, I actually, on my install truck, keep with me a trap kit, because it's not uncommon when you are up under a sink sometimes traps might be, you know, they're old, they're thin, they're brittle, and you barely touch them, and sometimes they'll just shatter, they'll just spread apart. And if that happens, it doesn't matter that the thing's 30 years old or 40 years old and that you barely looked at it and it broke. If it wasn't leaking before you got there and it's leaking or dripping after you got under the sink, it's yours, you know? And if you are doing a thorough job and you're preparing, you're talking to the customer about it, and you're preparing them for it instead of it costing you money, which if you don't have a trap kit, because at this point it's got to be replaced, right? I mean, you can't, if it wasn't leaking before you got there and now it is leaking, you can't just say, oh, I'm sorry, too bad. Now you got to fix this. But your RO works. You just got a big drip under your sink. You know, you got to fix that thing. A trap kit is only going to cost 10, 12 bucks at the store. Okay. But if you have prepared for it, and this goes, you know, sales professionals that are doing plumbing assessments as well, they got to do the same thing. They need to prepare for this stuff. You know, they need to make sure that they're preparing the installer when they're putting this, they got to document this stuff. And now, if you catch that stuff before it leaks and you point out to somebody that they've got a deteriorated trap under the sink, there's a revenue opportunity. Instead of it costing you extra time, maybe a trip to the hardware store, the plumbing supply store to buy a trap kit, the extra, you know, an hour between travel time, it only takes about 5 minutes to throw a new trap on usually. But instead of it costing that extra hour or material or time, you could actually charge the customer for that. And it can be a revenue opportunity, you know? So, and you have goodwill, you know, you're not, instead of that customer telling people that, yeah, they came out and put it, but they caused a leak under my sink and they had to fix it, they can say, yeah, they came out and saw that we were about to have a problem under the sink and they fixed that, which is a much better approach, I think, than the first way. The biggest thing that we have to understand is, again, that customers do not understand what we do, and they don't understand the difference in these things and, you know, in equipment. And so we have to do a better job of preparing them for what could be, or for helping them identify those things if we're truly there to service the customers. Thoughts on any of that? Anybody have an experience that has been similar, where they've learned this lesson when they've been out there? Anybody have any of that? Anybody? Nobody's ever run into this? So this is why I believe it is important to do... are you guys there? are we still on? It's quite a bunch today.
Yes, we're still anybody? On.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thanks. It's happened before in this call, you know, where you call and you realize, oh my God, I got disconnected like 20 minutes ago. I've been doing this whole thing. the biggest thing is just making sure that we're not taking, and look, I've always said, and I strongly believe that the more experience you have, the more likely we are to miss things. Because when you're new, you learn about the checklist. You know, you've got them written down. You're going through the checklist. You've got the plumbing assessment form. You're doing that plumbing assessment form, and you're going through and you're checking all this stuff. And it's less likely to get missed, because as a new person, if you've been trained properly, you're more likely to use and follow those checklists. As we get more experience, and I'm guilty of this as well, clearly, as I'm explaining this situation. Okay. Dogs and lawnmowers, you guys. Sorry. As you get more, just a second here. I'm sorry. Here, get past this. Wow. This is why going for a walk on a beautiful day when you're doing this call is maybe not the best idea. So as you get more experience, you tend to. Sometimes it's easy to bypass those checklists, you know, and say, oh, I remember how to do that. I know what I'm doing here. And you go in and you just do it quickly. And unfortunately, that's when things get missed. And I often, when I'm training people, use the example of an airplane, you know, an airline pilot. Yes, I want the experienced airline pilot flying the plane, but I'm still hoping that he's going through the checklist before we take off, you know, that he's checking every last thing before we fly. I don't care if the plane just flew and landed a second ago. I still want him to go through that checklist. And we should be viewing it, if we're professional, that same way, because if we don't, things are going to get missed. And whether we broke it or not, we're going to buy it. It's ours. It's our responsibility, because people are counting on us to be the knowledgeable professionals. That's kind of my take on that. Any thoughts on that? Anybody agree or disagree or have any thoughts on that?
I agree.
Well, yes, it's Michelle, and I definitely agree that it builds goodwill, especially in the scenario of putting an RO in, and if the trap was going to go bad or there was a problem with it. Personally, for me, that builds confidence, that builds loyalty, and that would definitely be something that I would say if I was talking to someone and say, oh, it was great, I got this RO, and I didn't even know there was going to be a problem, but they pointed it out, and they were able to fix it. Nobody likes water leaks, speaking from someone who had to deal with them in her home. So I definitely am on board with that.
Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else have any comments? Well, that's all I have on this topic. So I want to thank everybody for joining us, and hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Thanks very much.
Thanks.